Interesting bit about the sound adjustment there.
Yeah.
Yeah, technical stuff I have no clue about. But that's what
everything sound okay to
so
both of
good
you?
Good thing that we've got experts.
Yeah. I wouldn't call us experts, especially not me, but I'll tell you, I do muddle my way through it.
Hey, all right.
We're going to, can you guys hear each other okay? Everything good?
I can hear you.
Yeah. Yep.
Excellent. Okay, I'll adjust a little as we're going into this, but so I'll have your levels perfectly now, especially having you separate. All right, have a great time. Here we go. Five.
Eight.
You bet. Four, three, two.
Good evening. This is Stephen Otero speaking, and you're listening to Mondo Eros on bbsradio.com. And we are back tonight with original programming, and I have a very special guest here for the full hour. I have Midori, educator, writer. And I'm just so grateful and thankful that you're here tonight.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here myself.
So we were having an interesting chat the other day, sort of a pre-interview warm-up for tonight. You're very well-known in fetish circles. You're very well-known in BDSM circles. But I like what you were saying, that most people, when they interview you, they just try to box you into one category. And we're not going to do that tonight.
Yeah, and may I, I'm also going to add that I'm also, you know, got a bit of a circulation around ordinary folks who just enjoy enhancing their pleasure and fulfillment. That's actually the majority of people I work with.
Yeah, I like what you said in during that chat. You said, and I also go to museums too.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, what's interesting is that in whatever context people see me in, well, some folks will end up assuming that that's all that all the context that I operate in or I'm interested in. So if I'm presenting at a swingers club, they think that that's all my interest. If I'm presenting in a big city, they think only I present in big city. If I happen to be presenting around, like, if a kink event hires me and I'm presenting there, they think I only present around kink. And it's all a sampling issue. And the reality is that I'm all about the different ways to enhance, you know, fulfillment, pleasure, and you know, good human connection.
That's wonderful, because you it's so needed to have this. How did you begin your journey?
Let's see. Nerdy kid, curious about sex, just, you know, raging hormones, curious about sex, but also curious about human sexuality and the human condition from a nerdy, a little more academic angle. I ended up going to Berkeley, got my degree there, and afterwards I moved over to San Francisco, where I dropped right into the cradle of the sex positive movement, and ended up volunteering as safer sex educator, risk reduction educator, grassroots peer-to-peer. Learned my sexual education training from San Francisco Sex Information, and then just a whole lot of grassroots activism. Of course, you know, early 90s, we're talking about very early 90s, and the pandemic HIV was doing quite the number on people.
Yes.
And that's my roots. And then with San Francisco, even as the pandemic raged, there were people that were very, you know, chin up and upbeat that sex positivity had its rightful place. So I owe it to a lot of fantastic predecessors, colleagues, friends, and teachers, and among them I count people like Annie Sprinkle, Carol Queen, Joseph Bean, Rafe Bannon, Patrick Collier, etc. So it was a fantastic learning place. And of course, this is long before the internet. So all of the learning face to face and in person.
Yes, I think people tend to forget that, you know, there was a time when there was no internet and you had to actually get out there and do things.
Right, yeah, actually had to get out and meet people, do things, and make mistakes.
Mm.
Make mistakes on your own. So that's where a lot of my background comes from. Mm.
And how and from that you also went into the fetish as well.
I don't really distinguish it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all
right.
Just
it's all part
it's
of it.
Just all fun. I don't really. It's just a whole, you know, mixed bag of exploring fun and excitement. You know.
From what from that time until now, what do you see as still? For lack of a better word, problems that people have that you kind of see a common thread?
Oh, let's see. I think people take on a lot of what they believe are expected of themselves as far as how they're supposed to behave. Okay, you know, of course, there's the various different religious and social hang-ups, but even within alternative sexual communities, whether it's GLBTIQ. Okay, let's take GLBTIQ, right? And if you're a guy who likes to have sex with men, and if you say, you know, grow up, you know, come into your adult sexuality in San Francisco or LA, Chicago or New York, there's a certain cultural expectation and behavior set of what a man who likes to have sex with men would be like.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that guy also wants to have sex with women, well, then there's this, you know, now he's an outlier from expectation and a whole host of questioning, because there's, you know, a bunch of pigeonholes, expectations, and stereotypes even within a sexual minority culture. So we take on these shorthands and then sometimes take it on for gospel as our set of self-expected, laid upon ourselves set of behavior, instead of actually looking at what actually satisfies and fulfills us. What does it mean? So first of all, starting with communication with oneself. And if you can't have a good communication with oneself, how can you communicate your set of desires, limits, boundaries, and pleasures to your partner, right?
Yes.
And it's interesting that in talking about sexual behavior with alternative and sexual minority communities, there's this assumption that baggage around sexual behavior and expectations is just a mainstream heteronormative thing. It's not. Every cultural subgroup has that.
Yeah, you would think that for someone who's done so much work on liberation that wouldn't happen, but apparently it does.
Oh, you know, it's a human condition, I think,
mm-hmm.
and that's the reason why good sexuality education, you can't just, you know, do it once, boom, and then have entire civilization change, because you've got new generations continuing to come into their adulthood and their adulthood sexual rights for exploration. So it's an ongoing effort, you know.
Yes.
We can't teach one generation to read and then automatically assume that subsequent generations will automatically know how to read just because.
Right.
Yeah, it's a continuing thing. And fears, prejudices, and misinformation, they're really powerful. And so it's an ongoing effort to teach people good, compassionate, safe, accurate information. And I see a lot of folks coming up, younger folks as well, coming up and becoming sex-positive activists and just, you know, good common-sense sexuality educators keeping up the good work, because it is ongoing.
Yes. Yeah, that's what we try to do with Sexy Spirits, is to, you know, impart that information and just, you know, give people, you know, something there. And it's so needed. You know, life is an ongoing, continuous process. I mean, and the education and the learning never ends.
Yeah, and, you know, that awareness that, you know, it's a continual learning thing, and that's, I think, what keeps the attendees to my classes coming back. The really wonderful people that show up. I mean, most of the people I've found, you know, I'm teaching this all from tiny towns to big cities, right? And the thing that I see in common with those that come to my classes are people who are invested in making their lives richer. And realizing that sexuality is merely a part of their overall sense of fulfillment. And, you know, I think they also realize that my style is, I'm goofy, I'm funny, I use myself as an example of all the things that could possibly go wrong in sex. And, you know, I think they come for practical skills, good homework that are assigned, and a couple of hours of chuckles and giggles.
Well, I certainly think that that's the way to go. I mean, the more you can make it accessible to people and fun.
So I've got this class. My number one selling class actually is Joystick Secrets, right? And part of it is how to put a condom on with your mouth in a really, really super sexy, you know, blow your partner's mind kind of way. And so I show that, and we all do that on zucchinis and all that, which is great. And then I show the what not to do, which is the one where your hair gets caught in the condom, and your hair is like rolled into the condom. And you know, there I am hanging, there I am standing in front of the class with a condom covered zucchini treacherously tangled into my hair. Because, you know, it happens.
Oh, yes.
And nobody talks about it.
That's a very practical approach.
Yeah.
I think it's very good.
Yeah, and you know, if they see me doing that in front of the class, they're never going to do it. The thing is, you know, I am not like, okay, I am not a fabulous, natural sex goddess. I mean, the reason I can teach these classes is because I have made so many mistakes. And I learned from them. And I think if I were a complete, utter natural, I don't think I could teach this, because I wouldn't know how I did it so naturally well.
Right. You know, I didn't do that. How could you approach people?
Right. Yeah. It's like trying to learn how to ski or ride a motorcycle from somebody who just does it naturally and has been doing it since they were tiny. And I'm like, no, I want to learn from somebody who understands that, yeah, okay, maybe it's a little scary.
Yeah, it's not going to come out perfect the first time. It's probably not going to come out perfect the second time or the third.
Yeah.
And that's all the process of it. That's part of it. That's part of the fun. That's part of the enjoyment. It's not taking it so seriously.
And sex never happens in real life the way it happens in movies, huh?
Yes.
Except comedies. I think it's probably closer to comedies, and I think that's why it's funny, because it's closer. Yeah, it's. People looking like Captain Danews, you know, and the makeup never runs, and they never fart in the middle of sex. And their pussies never make that little queeching sound, and, you know, like, none of that happens in, like, sexy movies.
No.
No one ever struggles with a condom or has that awkward discussion about, well, you know, I got herpes, and, hey, let's do this with a dental dam. Nobody has that conversation in the movies. They just kind of fall into the bed.
Right.
And please, the lipstick doesn't even come off.
And no one struggles with the condom coming off you and trying to get it back on again and rolling up and
right
and
then
and
yeah and then the lube bottle rolls off the bed and goes yeah. under the bed and is covered in cat fur by the time you fish it out.
Yeah.
And
or
so
the
there's
worst,
all these
well,
things that happen. Oh,
and
yeah.
also the worst when the condom gets caught in the man's hair down there.
Oh geez, ouch, yeah. Oh yeah. So, yeah, there's all these things that happen. And now, you know, I am, like, totally reality-based. And, you know, you go to, like, relationship seminars or whatever, and they talk about, you know, take the time to lavish one another. Well, that's nice, but, you know, do you have this time? I mean, you know, you're in New York. I'm in San Francisco, you know, and then all the listeners out there, I mean, how many of us in this modern era have, like, luxurious free time to spare?
Yes.
You know, we've got the economy, we've got kids, we've got the mortgage, we've got the in-laws, the schools, and, you know, like, what's the thing that gets carved out? I mean, most people, you know, they're probably not going to the gym as they wish they could or take vacations, and then the time for intimacy gets hacked to bits. And what, you know, for me, it's about talking about practical sex tips and relationship tips within the context of real relationships, you know, mother-in-law, kitty litter, kids, mortgage, and all.
Right. How does one be a tantrika in 10 minutes?
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, so that's my focus on it. You know, sure, it would be nice if we could go off to a retreat in Bali and spend our entire life focusing on yoga and breath and, you know, deep mutual satisfaction. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes, but unfortunately
yeah.
that's not the reality, and I think some people who are purists don't see that. You know, that's just not that may be ideal and that may be nice and that may be the way it happened in India 2,000 years ago, but that's not what's going to happen today.
Yeah. Yeah. The reality
you have
now,
to make
the
a
thing
judgment.
Is, yeah, the thing is keeping in mind reality. And then how do you live ethical, fulfilled, and growing life within the constraints and the slings and arrows of everyday life?
Right.
Yeah.
How do you be a sensuous person?
Yep.
Within all this.
And the thing that leads me to a simple daily meditation that I suggest mm-hmm. to everyone. And
yeah.
this is so easy, and it can actually be a lot of fun. It's very easy. You don't need to sit. You don't need quiet. It can happen while you're walking to work. It can happen while you're sitting in the bus on the way to work. It can happen when you're standing in the kitchen having your first cup of coffee. And the thing is, in order to be a sensual human being, we need to develop our senses. How can we be sensual without having awareness, keen awareness of our senses? How can you linger and enjoy the fullness of your lover's lips when you kiss them? If you actually don't know how to linger on a scent. Right? So the sense and sensuality meditation that I give people is take 30 seconds. Okay, just to start off, 30 seconds is all I ask.
Okay.
Pick any moment. Pick any moment. Good moments are nice to start with when you're starting out. Good moments, right? So take 30 seconds and decide that you're going to go through and focus on all your senses. So there you are, standing in your kitchen. Are you a coffee drinker or a tea drinker?
I'm a coffee.
Okay. So you're in your kitchen. You're having your first cup of coffee. And it takes 30 seconds, and then you completely focus for just a moment on what you're smelling. And really, really, like, you know, distinguish the nuances of your favorite coffee. and the smell of the morning air in your residence. Then shift up to your eyes and really see. I mean, focus on the color, the texture. Imagine that it's the first time you're looking at it. And color, the texture, everything to see things. And then shift over to your ears and hear. Pay attention to the creaking of the house, the sound of the coffee maker percolating, somebody taking a shower, the sound of school bus, the trash trucks, whatever. Focus on all the sounds. Then you focus on what your skin is feeling. What does the kitchen tile feel on your floor, your favorite bathrobe, the way it's like draping around your butt, right? And then flavor, taste that morning mouth feel before the coffee, and then really taste that coffee rolling across your tongue, and the taste, every nuance of it. And go through your senses. Just 30 seconds. Now, if you get really good at it, go for a minute, right? And pick anything. Right now it's summer. It's beautiful outside. If you sit down in the park at a park bench for lunch, look at the trees and see all the different shades of green. Whatever it is, your favorite activity. Now, when you start to get really good, just like randomly hit yourself with the 30 seconds or minute sensory meditation, because the sensory input may not always be positive. Okay, so you're walking along and you smell a skunk. But if you actually break down the smell of skunk, instead of just having a repulsion reaction, you then start to parse out what exactly is it about it that is displeasing to you.
Yes.
And is there a note of, a hint of something that's actually good? Is there something bad? Then you start to like do a sensory meditation on a random moment, and you start to absorb and all these sensory input and heighten your ability to appreciate and savor it. And I tell you, it does make you a better sensual person, whether you are alone or with others.
Yes, I've been following that right now.
Yeah, yeah. And then you take that moment, and let's say you're on a date with your sweetie, and you decide that you're going to do a bit of that sensory moment. Just as your sweetie's like feeding you a spoonful of creme brulee. Seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. In our busy lives, we spend so much time building up calluses and armor to the world around us. I am just as guilty as anyone else. I am a self-employed author, teacher. I'm under all the joys and stresses of self-employment and living in this world that we do. I'm certainly familiar with stress. But boy, taking a moment, it's like a tiny, tiny little nano vacation.
Yeah, just to reconnect with self.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really fantastic.
And if you are in that stress moment, it's also very interesting to use that sense meditation to also focus on what all is going on in your body in that moment of stress. And I'm not saying let go of your stress. If that's what you're experiencing, hey, experience it.
Right.
It's, however, a little bit of a different experience than spinning in it.
Yeah, because it can bring you back then.
Yeah. It's like, wow, I'm totally stressed out. What's my body doing? Oh, my heart rate's really fast. Oh, that's interesting. Hey, my shoulders are up near my ears. Oh, my God. Yeah, so it's a little bit a different way of looking at stress. And, you know, only 30 seconds, and after which, you know, your previously scheduled, programmed stress reaction, you know, we return you to it if you wish. So that's something that I challenge people to do. It's really easy.
And I bet it's, and I can tell just that it's so transforming.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I actually love doing that in New York City.
Ah.
New York's one of my favorite cities. And I love doing that. But I love walking all over town. And it gives me so many different moments to have little flashes of sensory meditation. And it is one of those little things that you can do, you know, because I can't sit in full zazen in the middle of a park or something, or while in my course of my day. If I zone out, I'm going to get hit by a bus. But it's actually about hyper-awareness. So you're not going to get hit by a bus. And it's a fabulous, fabulous way to learn to lavish upon your senses so that you have the skill sets to become sense-focused and sensual when you are with your partner or you're with yourself.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole... going into the self, feeling that, and then becoming very hyper aware, and very hyper.
And it's about being in the here and now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would definitely take you away from the monkey mind.
Yeah.
From that, and get really just okay, just right here. What are you feeling?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, one of my favorite advice and challenges to people.
What would be your second one?
Oh, my. Let's see. Let's see. Something that I tell a lot of people is take the TV out of the bedroom.
Yes.
And take the computer out of the bedroom. That's increasingly happening. Yeah. Yeah, TV.
Yes, you have to actually make a bedroom into a boudoir.
Yes, and I have actually a couple times been, more than a couple times, quite a few occasions been confined to do bedroom space redesign. Where I'm, you know, I'm actually not doing the contractor work, but I'm making all the suggestions of the things to change. And sometimes, you know, they're full-fledged makeovers, and sometimes they're little things, like take the TV out of the bedroom.
Yes.
Put a lock on your door if you have kids.
Yes.
Because the parents get to have adult private time, too.
Yeah, but take the TV out and leave it with the kids.
Yeah, you know, see, that's another aspect of life's, you know, reality, isn't it? And, man, I mean, people with full lives and children and keeping their lives enriched, it takes a lot of work, and, you know, my hat's off to them.
Absolutely.
And I love that. I love seeing them in my classes, and those couples will end up showing up as date nights to my classes, which is great.
Yeah, now that must be something else. A date night, going to see Midori in a class.
You know, it's fun. And some of the classes are more, couples oriented than others. Other classes are couples or solo. It doesn't matter. Like, okay, for example, my How to Eat a Peach class, Pleasuring Her, it's really great when the women come as well as the mates who are trying to learn to pleasure her, right? And here's the reason why, because let's say if, you know, Joe and Jane coming to the class, and Jane could, if I did something that Jane particularly likes, Jane can poke Joe and say, hey, that thing that Midori did, said, you know, I like that, try that. It's also nice because for the gals, I'm also focusing on how to please themselves.
Yes.
Better, and also how to ask. I've had several students say that they'll use my phrasing, or they'll use my funny little sayings, etc., as a way to communicate to their lovers as to how they want to be touched or how not to be touched. But then if they just come to my class, then it becomes a way that they can share the same language and information. So I see plenty of nudging going on between the couples during classes, and that's great. it's really cute. And then there's the hands-on practice one. There's a class that I rarely get to do, mainly because of the logistics and location. And who knows, maybe through Sexy Spirit sometimes I'll need to find a place I can do this with. But it's really, really hot. It's a class called the Sensual Home Spa.
Oh.
Yes, and it's all the kitchen and grocery store type ingredients that is fun to lavish upon one's lover. Okay, so imagine, you know, it's hot over there right now, right?
Oh, yes.
Hot day, you've been walking around, your feet are tired, you're sweaty, you're covered in pollution, you come home. And I have this beautiful tub, like a squat Chinese bowl, with cool water, marbles, slices of citrus. Maybe I had old, you know, oranges and grapefruits that were kind of going bad. You know, so I slice them up and I put it in there, and there's crushed ice in there. And I invite you to sit down on the armchair. I take your shoes, your socks off. I roll up your jeans, and then I pull up a chair next to you. I roll up my jeans, and I put my feet in there, and I play footsie with you right in the marbles and the citrus.
Mm-hmm.
And then I take a bag of a small cup of sugar and pour it onto our feet, and with feet to feet, I do sugar scrub in the cool water and lovely marbles and beach pebbles and with the citrus smell. And if you're giving a little, you think your feet are a little bit funky from, you know, being in the shoes at work all day, I bring out the rum. Alcohol, odorous feet. Zap.
Wow.
So sugar, oh, and throw in some mint and citrus, and it's like this tropical foot-soothing mutual foot bath.
Wow.
And, you know, we just sit down on a couple of chairs. We're not, you know, making love. We're just, you know, home from work. We're tired.
Yeah.
So you and I would probably be talking about, how's your day at work, honey? While we're playing, you know, Tojito footsies. Now, here's something that's very California, because, you know, over here in California, we love our avocados, right?
Yes.
Now, have you ever made guacamole by hand?
I've seen it done.
Oh, my God. It is such a sensual experience. So what you want to do is take completely overripe, bruised and ugly avocados, and those are great. So I take one of those, and I cut it in half and pop the stone out, the seed, I put it aside. And in the little bowl of where the stone was, I put in a little bit of sea salt and a little bit of paprika or cayenne. Then I take that and I just squish it on your back, your chest, your belly, or maybe just your hands. With my hands. It's incredibly moisturizing, a little bit exfoliating, and the paprika or the cayenne brings a little heat up to the surface of your skin, you know, blood circulation. And then, as you're slathered in this, I take the stone, the avocado stone. It has nothing pointy on it, and I use it as a massage stone. Now, of course, as things are getting comfy and relaxed, because it's avocado and salt and a little bit of cayenne, that means I can lick it right off of you.
Wow.
And I get my serving of fruit and vegetable a day. And what I end up doing in the Sensual Home Body Spa is I share all these fabulous recipes that I've researched and collected and came up with. I put them up on the wall as big recipe cards, and then I have this whole bar set up of ingredients. And you can actually do from appetizers, savory, to dessert. And I'll have things like, you know, all these combinations, like oatmeal and honey and sugars and salts and peppers and all the way to whipped creams and chocolates. And, you know, people just go and eat one another. And I end up being bartender to the home body spa because, you know, there's no point in, if you don't have to, there's no point in using chemically laden items, especially if you're going to nibble off of one another, because lotion tastes awful.
Yes.
Whereas if I've slathered beautiful olive oil and a little bit of sea salt, and use that on your skin to treat your tired, weary, or dry skin, and then lick it off of you. It's good for both of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just getting people to think about a way to, you know, have a good time, and it's so much fun to play with your food.
Yes.
Especially because when we were growing up, well, when we were little kids, our parents said, don't play with your food.
Yes.
So now that we're adults, we can play with our food. And it's a lot of fun, and getting to nibble these things off of you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next time you're in New York, if you want to teach that class, absolutely.
That's got to be a place where we've got, you know, plenty of water source, because it does get messy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the best place for me to teach this is poolside at a resort.
Yes.
So I do have it up my sleeve that sometime next year I am going to, I'm not sure where yet, I'm researching this, I want to put together a couples retreat.
Mm.
So I'm going to bring out some of my sexiest classes, make them for couples, including the body spa, including how to eat a peach and joystick, and have time for sitting together and being with, not just humpy-humpy, but just touching, kissing,
wow,
being with, and having plenty of break time for napping together, or just go out and walk. So, you know, I'm going to be putting together a couples retreat where I'll lead people through pleasure skills, exercises, and classes, and then I send them off to enjoy themselves.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I have to find just the right resort. So if any of the listeners out there know a good, good little resort where I can do this, and you know, it can be at least some secluded area within it. It can be a larger resort where I can take up a, you know, corner villa or something in it, that'd be great too. Thinking something in the continental U.S.
Yes, we'll have to Twitter that.
Yes, absolutely. I'm totally looking for a place like that, so I'm relying on the network that is the interweb and fabulous sexy people out there, because if I have the place, I will make it happen.
Absolutely. I think that's great. Oh,
yep.
Wow. I've just been listening to you and just taking this all in. It's like, wow.
I'm really into what I do. I guess I'm very, very fortunate in that I've kind of fell into this. What started off as, you know, just volunteerism and activism is
right
now become a, you know, source for my joy and purpose of my career now. So
Here's a perfect thing. You volunteered, you gave of yourself at a time when it was really needed, when you were really needed. You stood up, you went forward, and through that whole process, here you are, and now it's coming back for you.
Yeah. But hey, let's not forget, it wasn't purely altruistic either, you know. I'm very much interested in staying healthy, and I'm also very much interested in making my sex life better.
Yes.
And it was, you know, I actually think that good volunteerism has a heavy dose of self-interest in it.
Yes.
Because I was tired of my friends dying.
Yes.
And I wanted to learn how to have better sex because I was horny but feeling awkward.
Yes.
We've all had that.
Yes.
You know, and I was like, wow, you know, these people who have the, like, they know how to do this stuff, and they're all, like, so sexy and slick and shiny and wow. You know, so, yeah, totally. I mean, self-interest, absolutely. And if I didn't have self-interest in it, I wouldn't be that excited and passionate about it.
Well, that's an important part. I mean, people try to take that out, but you can't. You have to have that self-interest. And, you know, so many times it's like downgraded and made to feel bad about that. But hey, look at what you did and accomplished and helping people at the same time.
Yeah, and somewhere along the way, I've picked up a couple tricks for myself too. So I guess I achieved my goal. Yeah, and you know what? I still fumble and I still fall victim to stress. And, you know, it's a constant. It is a constant. Trying to stay awake instead of being one of the, instead of sleepwalking through life, right?
Yes. Well, talking about the early 90s when all this was happening, I remember that time period that they were trying to promote something called Outer Course.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that you know, it was a really good thing, a really good idea, and then somehow along the road it kind of got forgotten, and now it's starting to come back again. But I think that when you do a class or a workshop, and you say, well, one of the things we're going to do is right now there isn't going to be, you're not going to have intercourse. You're just going to practice on these things. Mm-hmm. And it certainly amps things up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think if there are some silver linings to the current economic difficulties, I think there are people that are, people are focusing on the simple things in life that they're grateful to.
Yes.
Grateful for, and I think the taking pleasure in the simpler things is coming back. Back in the 80s and the early 90s with the pandemic, I think there were a lot of folks that were just happy to be alive.
Yes.
And then through the boom boom years, things kind of got forgotten, right? And now we're at a place where we gotta be grateful of the simplest things, because everything else is like falling down around us.
Right.
Yeah. I have noticed that people are coming to kind of a different shift in interest in my classes. Instead of interest in whatever is the flashiest or the latest technology, there is the back to basics and foundation work that people are doing. And if they're doing staycations, they're like figuring out how to make the most of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I remember there was a book that came out a while ago. I think the title was "It Was Better in the Back Seat."
Yeah, that's a great title. Oh my God.
And it was all about, you know, getting back to the basics of not just foreplay, but the basis of just making out.
Oh, that's so good. That is so good. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, we had, I think when you can do all those things, and which really puts you in the body, that's something that I find from my own personal experience, because I'm a very mental person. I can be very, very easily into my head. But finding things that put me in the body and keep me there.
Mm-hmm.
And those things, the beforehand, the really extended foreplay, and spending a lot of time just on those simple things. Wow. And yeah. I find that I get a far more bigger charge out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm truly present. And it's like, and I can ride that wave.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's so surprising to me how people tend to, like, they just want to, like, fast forward through that. But it was like, no, that's like, wow. That's like amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, we've been a junk food culture for so long. I don't think it's all that surprising that at the same time there's a reawakening to sensuality, it's also the same time that the slow food movement is really gaining a foothold.
Yes. And just taking your time.
Yeah.
Well, did you see the Sex and the City film?
No, I didn't actually.
Well, there's a wonderful scene. I think it's not quite near the end, but there's a scene where Samantha is watching this man taking a shower outside, and it's done in real slow motion, and you see him really, you know, soaping himself, and he's obviously getting off on the fact that just him there alone,
mm-hmm.
just doing the shower.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
And naturally, of course, he's a European man doing it.
okay.
I forget what his name was, if it was Eduardo or something like that, but it wasn't Joe or Jack.
Right.
It had to be Eduardo.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, of course, the thing that got her so excited by this guy was the fact that she saw him, she'd been watching him having sex, not just with one woman, but with two at the same time.
Woo!
But it was that attention to sensuality you know, and I remember, of course, books like The Sensuous Man, The Sensual Man, The Sensual Woman came out in the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's sort of like, yeah, it was there, but like, it sort of like became forgotten.
Yeah, but fret not. There are those who are out there who are very concerned about that and invested in and delight in. In the slow pleasures that are out there, then they're there. And
no,
it's not
great.
All just junk food sex out there.
Right.
It does concern
right.
me. The thing that concerns me, though, is that safe sex education is fading. I hear a
what
lot
is fading?
Among safer sex education
yeah.
and yeah, HIV and other STD prevention.
Yeah.
I'll talk to a lot of people, like if I'm in a joystick class, right, I'll talk to women in their 20s and 30s and 40s who, you know, they're not using a condom for hooking up. So I don't quite get this because the condom companies have been bending over backwards to come out with really fantastic product.
Yes. Well, it's interesting that you say that. It's interesting that you say that because I've been reading on this one particular blog that I follow, and I can send it to you afterwards. How mm-hmm. this woman, they had take the test together, something like that. But then she was wondering, well, why is he still wanting to use a condom with me? Is he having sex with somebody else? And she couldn't understand why he was still insisting on using a condom. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's like, you know, just because you decide one thing doesn't mean that you throw the other thing away.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So I wrote, one of my comments, I wrote, the joys of condomless sex versus 22 years of child support payments.
Yeah. There's that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking, of course, about STDs, but I'm also thinking of that as well.
Yeah, one of the common side effects of sex is pregnancy. It happens from time to time. Yeah. Oh, how funny.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and also, you know, the STDs do continue, even if you don't get something as bad as HIV, there's still a whole lot of other things out there. And, you know, why would you stop that? I mean, just to me, like, you know, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. And I think safer sex isn't necessarily made sexy, and that's part of the problem.
Yes. I think it's because, you know, people have that kind of that association of disease and death with it, and so they're trying to block it out of their minds. But, well, let's just avoid it altogether. But you can't.
Yeah, there's basic etiquette, I think, as a lover. And talking to folks in the language and thinking of things of bedroom etiquette.
Yes.
That's one of the language I like to use. Think of bedroom etiquette. All right, so let's say you're the single guy or single girl about town. You can really set up your bedroom, one, to be an exquisite den of pleasure with high levels of planning for bedroom etiquette. Mm. Now, you can do that on a budget, or you can do that on a big, huge amount of money. It doesn't matter. But bedroom etiquette, from simple to the lavish, totally exists. And being able to do smooth, sexy, safer sex is part of it. Also mm-hmm. having different types of lube, having trick towels, having, plug-in vibrators at the wall, not being threatened by vibrators if you're a guy. Having a couple of hotel-sized toiletry kits for that unexpected overnight guest. Yeah, it's all these things that add up to being smooth in the bedroom.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so like I used to write for Men's Health in the UK, and they had me write a column around the Lothario bedroom, the ideal single guy's bedroom, and
yeah.
I had such a good time doing this because it all fits into my bedroom makeover thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if, like, budget is not an issue, right? So fantasizing for budget is not an issue. The perfect Lothario gentleman, I imagine him having single, small sizes of lubes, assortment of high-end, exquisite sex toys, of course, a retractable sling that comes down from the ceiling.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good one, huh? But yeah. Also somewhere tucked away in the closet. Oh, and a massage shower head with shower nozzles coming out from all different angles, including the clit height. But in the closet for that awkward goodbye next morning moment, he would have the oh, what is that, that designer, just, her name just skipped my mind, the one that does the beautiful wraparound dresses?
Oh,
New York-based designer.
Is it Diane von Furstenberg?
Yes, Diane von Furstenberg. So, of course, he would also have a closet full of single-wrapped, brand-new von Furstenberg dresses in the sizes of his desired lover.
Ooh.
So then he would say, oh, darling, you've sweated in that clothes. We've danced all night. We've made love in that. Here, wear this beautiful Furstenberg home, and it's yours. And
wow.
So then, you know, she can trot off to work or wherever it is that she goes to. Now, that's my idea of a Lothario.
Yes, that would be a wonderful book for you to write.
You know, that could be the Gentleman Lothario, right?
Yes.
And then the next day, you know, here's this woman walking down Fifth Avenue in a beautiful von Furstenberg dress, and no one's the wiser. She's just got a glow and a bounce, glow in her face, and a bounce in her step.
Who would you cast in that role? That is someone who not necessarily an actor, but who do you think is that right now?
Who would I think? Well, my ultimate favorite actor is Kevin Spacey.
Mm.
Right? So he can be the everyman, but
yes.
he is so good with the subtlety.
Yes.
You know, I can see him sitting back on an armchair watching this woman putting on the wrap dress.
Yes.
And then calling the car service or his driver or whatever to take her wherever she wants to go to.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, he's one of my favorite actors. I think he can just play everything from Mr. Ordinary to Psycho Killer and in between, which he's done.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, or perhaps one of the Shakespearean actors. Maybe I'm just nuts for the accent.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really great. I think it would be a great book. I think it would certainly be a wonderful workshop. And that's sort of like that cosmopolitan Mr. Big. Isn't that what all women are craving?
And it's all about confidence. Confidence without being an asshole, right?
Yes, yes. That's a good one right there. Confidence. How does one be confident without being an asshole?
Well, let's see. Oh, you know, actually, there's something about was it gorillas or chimpanzee? There was a certain primate male mating strategy. Apparently, it's not the alpha male that always gets the ladies.
Ooh.
In fact, quite the contrary. The researchers have found that there's the unassuming male, the one that's not outing his chest and, you know, butting heads with the other guys. But he kind of hangs out off to the side, and he knows the activities that the females like. So when the alpha's out, you know, bashing heads with another alpha, he steps in, and he's doing grooming things in a group of females.
Mm.
And he's the one that gets laid. Because he's the one that, while the testosterone-crazed alphas are out bashing heads, he slides in and says, hey, ladies, do you need a hand with that gardening? Oh, no, actually, I like knitting, too. Here, why don't you tell me about your life. What frustrates you? I'm listening. Really?
Mm.
Come here. Tell me more.
Yeah.
You know, his thing is that he's not proving his manhood by bashing heads with another alpha. You know, he knows what matters to him.
That's really good.
In the meantime, the alpha primates are off, you know, getting concussions.
Right.
Yeah, and it's these kind of chilled out, relaxed, hangs out, and knows chick activities, chick primate activities. And he's the one that gets in. And then all the other female primates are going, Sally, he's so fun to hang out with.
Right, so it's not quite being the nice guy, because that's the, mm-hmm. That's the other extreme, but it's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, it's the confidence to sit back and say, no, enough about me, really, tell me about you.
Right.
Assholes are the ones that says, it's all about me, and you're going to listen to how fabulous I am.
Right.
Confidence is a guy that says, I know what I got going on. I know that. Why don't you tell me what's going on with you?
Right.
And when I heard this, like, primate strategy, and what's ending up happening is the alpha males are thinking that he's getting the ladies.
Right.
But the genetic testing is proving not to be so.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think primatologists have a lot to teach us.
Yes. Well, this is really fantastic.
I'm glad you think so.
I absolutely think so.
Yeah.
I really want to see you teach this.
Okay. See what I get for reading the science section regularly in the New York Times?
Yes. Natalie Anger.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, if you come to New York, I'll book that class.
Hey, cool. You know, I wrote the column on it. I've actually never taught the class on the bedroom etiquette for the gentleman.
Do you have that online?
No, because it was actually the time limit's probably expired. You know, it was one of those proprietary writing pieces for mm-hmm. a commission. So I think the time limit's expired, but I should be able to put it online. Yeah, actually, I should consider that. But, you know, you're right. I haven't put this information together in a class, and that would be fun.
Well, I'm going to ask you right now, please. Please.
Okay, you'll have to help me come up with a cool title.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I'm actually going to be coming to New York next April, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. So we can figure out something around that. Yay, this will be fun. I love getting new class ideas. It's this kind of brainstorming that helps me to create classes. Thank you.
Absolutely. Oh, well, it's my pleasure.
Everyone out there listening, look, honestly, I'm totally open to ideas, and I love to hear what classes should exist, because that's the only way that I develop new material, and it's this kind of, you listen to it live, the bantering that happens to create a class.
Where can they reach you?
Easiest way to find me is my umbrella site, which is planetmidori.com, and from there you can go to all my other ones. My education site, my education company name is Firehorse Productions.
Yep.
So if they go to F as in fire, H as in horse, P as in production, -inc.com. But really the easiest thing is just go to Planet Midori, and then it'll take you to my art site, my education site, my blogs, my Twitter, my Facebook, all that.
www.planetmidori.com.
That's it.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being here. And I want to thank you also for that bedroom etiquette. That's it. That was like really, and the gentleman Lothario, that is like absolutely perfect.
I am so glad. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Yes. And I hope you could come back and we could have another one. Maybe you can go more forward on that.
Yeah, I'd be delighted to. And if any of the readers would just, listeners would just, you know, send in questions or topics to talk about, I'll totally be delighted to tackle it.
Great, fantastic. Well, I want to thank Midori so much. And please, everybody, go to planetmidori.com. I was going to say tonight, we're going to take a journey to another planet, to Planet Midori.